Now, somehow, it's amazing how dependent we can become on modern technology. We lost our internet on Thursday and didn't really discover it till Friday. Well, we discovered it late Thursday night. And we still are without internet. So we use internet for a lot of communications. And one of the things that we communicate is the bulletin back and forth. And Jimmy Hucks, he takes care of the bulletin for us and sends it to us each week. And we couldn't get it because we didn't have any internet. And that gets so frustrating. So we're going to try and get it fixed tomorrow. But anyway, the message that you have in the bulletin is last week's message. Okay, I didn't notice it when I was running the bulletin. I want us this morning to take an example from some of the people in the Bible. God doesn't just put information in there so that we can have something to read. We don't need to spend our time that way unless we can profit from it. If you're studying math, you learn some things about math, at least hopefully you do. I did all but one time. I took one class, one math class. It was called Calculus of Differential Equations. And I never completed that class because I didn't know what was going on. Okay, so anyway, God has given us a lot of examples in His Word of people who had faith. And right away you turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and you think, okay, it's all going to come from there. No, no. For most of us, our life in many ways is molded for us by the family around us, by the characters that God puts in your life. And He does. He puts characters in your life. And that's not by accident. It's for a reason. Growing up on the farm, God introduced me to men and women in my life that, as a child, I looked up to. They were giants. Giants of power, giants of wealth. There were people that were examples, people who were prominent, who had certain authorities. I thought that they were very special for one reason or another. Did you have people like that in your life as you were growing up? I was not a Christian. And in fact, I'd not heard anything at all about Jesus Christ till I got into my teenage years, other than jesting and making fun of those who believed on Him. The people that were becoming a part of my young, inexperienced life were heroes to me, and the only heroes that I wanted and had. All that changed after I met a real hero. His name was Jesus. He's the real hero. For many of you, the same thing probably took place. You came to know a lot of different people, people you respected, people you honored, people who were heroes to you, until you met Jesus. At least I hope that changed when you met Jesus. Many of the people who were my early heroes were people of power or reputation or wealth. But they were a definite part of the world. And God has told us, He's given each one of us, if we know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God has warned you. He said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Whosoever loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Can't make it any plainer. Our hearers need to come from this book. No other. When I met Jesus, it wasn't intentional on my part. I thought at the first that it just sort of happened. That was before I learned from the Word that God had worked things out to put me in that right place. And He did the same thing for each one of you. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you were at that particular place at that particular time because God wanted you there to meet the Holy Spirit who was going to cause you to be born again. Give new life to your soul within you. It wasn't an accident. Everything is according to His plan for you. He drew each of us, He drew you, He drew me to that place on this earth where He wanted to meet you. He wanted to meet you because He loved you. And after the Holy Spirit completed His work in our souls, we probably all noticed a change in our hearers. As I was reading through the Epistle to the Hebrews, I ran across the heroes that are all mentioned there, heroes of the faith. And I stopped to look it over and I stopped to think about it. And I would like to take a few minutes to share with you some of the heroes that were mentioned that were not necessarily listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Some of the people that are in this list are not the ones in chapter 11. You probably have not thought about some of them as heroes of the faith. So this may give you a chance to think about these people, how they were just like you and I. They were just plain people. And yet, they are considered heroes of the faith. Some of them didn't accomplish a whole lot. Some only accomplished one thing. And the first one that I thought about sort of surprised me. I was asking the Lord to guide me. And the first one that I thought about was murdered by his brother. He was a hero of the faith. He had faith. That was Cain, that was Abel, by the way. Murdered by his brother Cain. He had faith enough to offer the very best lamb out of his flock to God in sacrifice. The very best. Not the cull. Not the blind one, not the sick one. The very best he had to offer, he offered. And for that, his brother killed him. Did you ever think about him as a hero of the faith? He offered the very best that he had. You can read all about it in Genesis 4, 1 through 16. And that sort of prompts a question this morning. What is the very best that you can sacrifice to God. What is the very best that you can sacrifice to God as an offering? Give you a minute to think about it. What is the most precious thing you have to give back to God? And then that prompts the next question, have you offered it back to him yet? And if you haven't offered it yet, when do you plan to do it? Now, the next hero that is mentioned in God's word is a God-fearing man who did not die, but he was taken to heaven. His name was Enoch. And it says that he walked with God. What a wonderful thing to do. We're going to look at Philippians chapter the entire book tonight. And in chapter 4 there is a verse that is just beautiful. And we'll look at that tonight, not this morning. But he walked with God. What a privilege. We each can walk with God. We can be close to him. We can walk with him. He can guide us if we let him. But usually we have our own desires. We have our own appetites and sometimes things that we want to do, and we put those ahead of what God wants for us. But Enoch, he walked with God. And you can read all about his life in Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. And this next one, of course, you're probably looking for, and some of you will learn a lot more about this next one later on this summer. And that, of course, would be Noah. He was also a man of faith. Can you imagine taking 100 years to build something that had no purpose? At least, apparently, no purpose. He built a boat in the middle of the desert. Now, I know of a man. I did a couple projects in Saudi Arabia, and one of the men who was a construction foreman had been told that there was a beautiful lake over there, just outside of the capital city of Riyadh. And so he sent his sailboat over. Well, there was a thing called Lake Riyadh. It's about 450 miles of desert. And so there sat that sailboat in storage in the middle of the desert. When Noah built his boat, because God told him to, there was no lake around. God might tell you to do something that doesn't seem practical, but he has a reason for it. And you might be surprised how it turns out. I'm sure Noah was, and so was all the rest of the people who thought he was some kind of an idiot. You can read all about Noah in Genesis 6, verse 1 through chapter 9, verse 17. The next person of faith was chosen by God to become father of a great nation, Israel. God promised Abraham that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars in heaven. And Abraham trusted God enough to follow God's instructions from his homeland to a new land that he had never seen before. And you can read all about him in Genesis 12, 1 through 17, 8. But Abraham was another one that God asked to offer back to him the most precious thing he had, his son. And he was willing. God stopped him. Now, we're not quite done with that family yet. There was a wife of Abraham who believed that God would keep his promise and permit her to conceive in her old age and to deliver a son that would make Abraham into a great nation. You can read all about her in Genesis 18, 1 through 5, 15, and in Genesis 21, 1 through 8. Now, staying in that family for a time, we look at the son of Abraham and Sarah, born when they were both very old. His name was Isaac. He married Rebekah. Later, he blessed his sons, Jacob and Esau. And later, his youngest son's name was changed to Israel. You can read all about him in Genesis 27, 1 through 40. Isaac's youngest son became the father of the nation Israel when he fathered 12 sons, 12, that comprised the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's why his name was changed. His history can be found in Genesis 48, 1 through 22. Now comes an unusual young man of faith who had a unique relationship with God. He was the youngest of the 12 brethren, and his father exalted him above all the others, even gave him a special robe. His brothers hated him because of that. They sold him into slavery in Egypt. And God orchestrated this. God kept him soft. God kept him willing to accept God's will in his life. You think about all he went through. Went to jail. He was in a pit, thought he was going to die. And every time he turned around, God was blessing him to a point that everybody around him was respecting him. You can be like that. And eventually, he led the nation. He provided food for his other 11 brethren. The next people of faith are the parents of Moses. They believed that their son was special. They believed that he was worthy of life because at the time that he was born, the Pharaoh had given the order to kill all the children born to the Jews. And they hid him out in the Nile River. Why do I call them a family of faith? Do you know what lives in the Nile? A lot of things that eat babies. Different things that eat babies. But they hid them out. And God caused Pharaoh's daughter to find the baby and preserve the baby and raise the baby. He was the one that God chose to lead Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. And you can read all about him in Genesis 37 through 50. Jochebed and her husband were the ones who delivered the baby. And you will find their story in Exodus 2, 1 through 3. Moses gave us the law of today. And although he never entered the land, God gave him the opportunity to at least see it from the mountain where God buried him, so nobody could ever worship him, to know where he was buried. He led Israel through the Red Sea. He performed countless miracles, and they would have worshiped him if God had let them. He lived to be 120. So you got hope, Lacey. 120. Now, there was another woman that God wanted included in the people of faith. This was a woman by the name of Rahab, who lived in the doomed city of Jericho. She was a prostitute. A woman of faith, a prostitute. And she helped the spies from Israel to hide from the people who would have killed them to save the city of Jericho. She and her family were spared in the destruction of the city. You know, on this particular list of heroes of faith, there are a few others to remember. And we'll start with Gideon, who obeyed reluctantly. How many of you have obeyed reluctantly or just not obeyed at all? Yeah, all of us probably at some point. Can you imagine him taking his 300 men against 120,000? But he did. And God gave him the victory. He tested the will of God with a sheepskin. You know, we're not supposed to do that. It was okay for him. This was in Old Testament. This was not under the age of grace. We know God now. We know him personally in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know his Holy Spirit. He's the one who's given our soul new life. And we're not supposed to put out the fleece, so to speak, like Gideon did. We do sometimes. You say, well, God, if this happens, I'll do this. Or God, if you'll do that, I'll do this. We try and negotiate with God because we really want our own way. That's what Gideon did. And he wasn't comfortable with doing that just once. He had to do it twice because he did not have faith to begin with. He's one of the heroes of the faith now because of what he did with the 300 men. But before that, he did not have enough faith that the first time God made the fleece dry and wet all around. And then finally he said, no, let's do it the other way around. Just to verify, give his faith a chance to grow. Now one hero was very carnal, and he was very rebellious against God, and yet he was used by God as a judge for 20 years of the nation Israel. Samson's parents were told by God that they would conceive a male child that would be a Nazarite. that he would deliver his people from the Philistines for 20 years. He had to ultimately sacrifice his life to fulfill God's prophecy of him. Samson was a womanizer. He knew many women intimately, some good, some bad. But he sacrificed everything for his own desire, for his own way. And he had to ultimately sacrifice his life to destroy the Philistine people. Remember how he did it? In the bottom of that temple, between two pillars, God, one time his hair regrew, and they didn't realize that the regrowth of his hair would bring back his strength. And he pushed the pillars down. There were 3,000 people on the roof. There were more down in the temple. And he destroyed them by pushing the two main supporting pillars out. And the temple collapsed. And in that doing that, he sealed his own death. He was there because he had been blinded. And men, it was a woman who got him there. Her name, Delilah. You know how she did it? Listen up, ladies. It was by feeding him. And making him fall asleep. You see all these people around out there on the streets that will work for food? Okay, that's it. Two more men of faith. We'll start with David. He was used of God to be an encouragement to King Saul. He was chosen by the king to serve as a leader. He became the future leader after he had killed Goliath, the giant, and King Saul had died with his two sons in battle. Though David committed some very grievous sins, including murder, God still was able to use him. So no matter what any of us have done to this point, God can use you tomorrow. And maybe even later today. You see, your sin can separate you from God, just as it did with David. And God sent someone along to let him know that was the problem. But God still used him. And there's not one of us here this morning who can't serve God somewhere, no matter what we've done in the past. Well, there may be some consequences, but we can still serve God. And in order to be used of God where we are right now, we need to put our faith into action. We need to put our faith into action. Faith that's inactive is no faith at all. Let me say that again. Faith that is inactive is no faith at all. Faith requires action. It has to be active. Confessing our sin is a part of exercising our faith, believing that God will forgive it because Jesus died for it. So the last hero of faith this morning would be one of God's prophets. He was given to the Lord by his mother before he was even ever born or conceived. And he did not grow up at home with a family, but as soon as his mother weaned him, she gave him to the Lord, and he lived in the temple with an old prophet called Eli and his two wicked sons. Who says that environment makes us what we are? Samson turned out fine, though he did not have any example, good examples. He just had God, and he had a mother praying for him. I don't know what Eli did differently with Samuel from his two sons, but God said very clearly that Eli's two sons were wicked, and it was Eli's fault. So fathers, careful. Samuel was obedient to the Lord. He became one of Israel's most effective prophets. He ordained kings and leadership in the things of God. And during all of his life of service to the Lord, Samuel was faithful. You can read about Samuel in 1 Samuel 1:1 through 25:1. 25 chapters of his life. You know, one advantage of reading the Bible through each year is the learning about others that have lived before us. And they're using faith to accomplish some great deeds, some impossible things. God places in their pathway challenges, but they believe God and they're faithful to him. I really apply Hebrews 11:6 to as many parts of my life as God will permit me to. And Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him." Diligently seek him. If you seek God, you will find him. God will not ask you to do the things he knows you can do. Say that again. God will not ask you to do the things that he knows you can do, because you will take credit for them. You say, "Look what I did." God will ask you to do the things that are impossible for you to do, so he gets the credit for them when they get accomplished. That way, you know it was God doing it. So God has a challenge for you. Exercise your faith. Do what he puts in front of you. And maybe someday we'll all hear about you when we get to heaven, that you're another hero of the faith. Father, thank you for bringing us into your family. Thank you for sending your son to die for our sins. And Father, as we enter this new week, open our eyes that we see the opportunities before us. May your Holy Spirit inflame our hearts that we are bold to do the things that you challenge us to do. And give us courage to believe on you, to depend on you for everything we need. And Father, we will praise you for all the things that you do in each of our lives, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.